In 1962, Jean and I got married. We were madly in love, madly in love. In a million years, I never would have believed that by 1970, she'd be my ex-wife. We lived in Westport for a couple of years and then decided to move into the East Village. The East Village was pretty interesting at that time, 1964. There were wizards and witches, gnomes and elves, anarchists, exorcists, hippies, some guy with a sign hanging out of his window, "Eat the rich." We settled right in. I had a job in the West Village in a pretty popular bar called Chumley's. Well, yeah. So I worked there, and I made a ton of dough. We made a lot of friends, Jean and I. We began having parties, open houses. We'd leave the front door open, and people in the building would come in and out. It was really a lot of fun. One weekend, we decided to take LSD. We thought that would be a good idea. Get with the crowd. So we took the LSD. And about a half an hour went by, and nothing happened. Nothing seemed to be happening. But then we noticed that the rug was crawling around on the floor. Maybe something was happening. He sat down in the color blue and began to watch the walls inhale and exhale. That went on for a little while. Then I could read Jean's mind. She was re-experiencing her own birth. I was in the bathroom looking in the mirror, and there was this Chinese guy looking back at me from 2,000 years ago with a mustache, a green silk hat, and a green robe. And if there's such a thing as reincarnation, this guy was probably thinking, 2,000 years and you're getting stoned in the East Village. The trip went on for a long time with those kind of things. We stayed in the village for about a year and a half. And I had been influenced by the beat poets and writers. And they had gone to Tangier. So I figured I would go there too. I didn't know what would happen, but I decided I wanted to go there. So we booked passage on a Yugoslav freighter that had 20 staterooms. And we set out in November. The trip was really very interesting because it was the middle of the winter on the Atlantic. And the ship was loaded with Marlboro cigarettes, so it was top-heavy. And every night we'd go in the bar, it had a bar, and we'd get drunk with the captain. Then in the daytime, we'd go out and sit in the deck chairs. But the ship rolled so much that we'd slam from side to side on the ship. And by the end of the trip, the deck chairs were kindling. There was nothing left. When we got to Tangier, it was just beyond exotic. You could feel the history coming up off the streets. We got an apartment with another couple through a guy named Irving, who used to work in the garment district, and he got tired of buying mink coats and Cadillacs, and he moved to Tangier. He also hooked us up with the fat man, right out of the Maltese Falcon, this guy was. Yeah, he would sell you Moroccan money cheaper than the banks would give it to you for. So we did that with him. We lived there for about 3 or 4 months, enjoyed the delicacies of the native delicacies like marijuana and hash and couscous. Went shopping in a place called the Zoco Chico, bought blankets and straw mats, and you had to go to one guy to get a cappuccino and another guy to get a croissant, and then you had to go to a different guy to get the butter. So that kept you busy for like a half a day. At one point, I bought a motorcycle in Gibraltar, and we left Tangier and drove up the coast. We stopped at an island called Ibiza. It's spelled Ibiza, but they called it Ibiza because the king used to lift, and nobody wanted to make him feel bad. So everybody in southern Spain says Ibiza and Barcelona. So we stayed there for a while. The natives used to call us Rico Americanos. We spent about $4 a day on lunch and dinner. About 3 months there, we got on a motorcycle and we went up the coast. We went to Cannes, Nice, Monte Carlo. Then we went back up through the Rhone Valley, through Lyon, Dijon. We stopped and got some mustard. Went further up to Paris. We flew back to the States. We were back at the States for about, I don't know, a week. And it was the end of the world as far as I was concerned. I was back working at Chumley's. It was like nothing had ever happened. I was completely depressed. And what I did to deal with that was drink a lot and cheat on Jean. That went on for quite a while until she finally put her foot down and said that if I didn't stop, she'd leave me. So we came to terms, and I said I wouldn't do that anymore. And a little while later, we had a daughter, little baby daughter. But I didn't stay true to myself, and I began to carry on again and drink and hang out at after-hours clubs and whatever. So at one point, she divorced me, and shortly after that, she told me she was going to St. Thomas with Melissa, my daughter. So that really killed me. That really killed me. I didn't miss her so much, but I was going to miss Melissa. But what happened there was that a friend of mine opened a restaurant in St. Thomas, and he hired me to work there. So I showed up at Jean's doorstep one night about 10 o'clock. She told me I could sleep on the couch, and then the next day I had to find another place to live. I lived in St. Thomas for about a year. And I think Jean, to get me off her back, introduced me to her friend Barbara. It was love at first sight. She was a girl of my dreams. And it didn't hurt that she had won a beer drinking contest. We moved in together, and then we moved back to the States. I got to grab a little water. Oh, thanks. We moved back to the States and got an apartment. About a year later, we got married. Things were going pretty well. I had stopped drinking by then, and I was working in the movies. So things were pretty nice. It went that way for a while, and then we decided to have some kids. So we had two boys in a row, and Peter and Gregory, and we decided to move to Westport so that the kids could grow up together, because Melissa and Jean were living there. We moved to Westport, and things were great for a while. Then Barbara began to do the same thing that Jean had done to me. She was working in a restaurant, and she'd stay out later and later. And I'd be going to work, and she'd be coming home. So after about 6 months of that, we got a divorce, and we agreed that I would raise the boys, which is what I did. It's probably the best thing I ever did. That was like my real job. And the movies are like my secondary job. Today, I have two ex-wives, three grown children, and everybody hangs out with each other. So we must have done something right. Thanks.